Why don't you turn in your Bibles to John, the book of John, and I want to share a really powerful mystery today from the Word of God, and I pray this book opens to you today to understand. You know, church is not just about coming on Sunday morning. Church is about knowing God and knowing His Word in pureness and in truth. Amen? Why don't you turn to John chapter 12, and we're going to begin. Now, most of what is spoken, all of chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 were spoken to the disciples in the upper room. It was a very intimate time that the Lord had. It was the very last words that He spoke to His disciples. They were in the upper room before the cross and before the resurrection when they had communion at the Last Supper. All of these chapters, and this is what the Lord shared with them. This is what He chose. This is what God chose to share with His disciples as the last message before His ascension and resurrection. So we're going to share that with you today. We'll look at and begin in verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Verily, verily, that means truly, truly. When He says verily, verily, that means listen up. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Any farmer knows a seed has to fall in the ground and die. And Jesus was that seed, and He was prophesying of His own death here. He said, "I am that corn of wheat. I'm that promised seed. I'm going to fall on the ground and die. And when I do, God's going to resurrect me. And when He resurrects me, He's going to multiply me in the nations of the earth. If it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it." Now, He says something very interesting here, verse 26. Because He's going to repeat this three times. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man love me," or "any man serve me, let him follow me." So here we're commissioned to follow Him. There's somewhere He's going. In fact, He's going to say it about 15 times in the next four or five chapters. To some in this book, He told them, "You won't be able to go where I'm going because you reject me." But to these disciples, to you and I, we're called to follow Him. And He's taking us somewhere. He's going to tell you where He's taking us. Amen. Now, if you look at John 13, verse 31, one chapter ahead. "Therefore, when He was gone out," that was Judas. Most of what the Lord said, He said when He got Judas out of the upper room. There are things that God is going to tell you and you alone. And there are things that are not mentioned by heaven for you to mention to your friends. They're intimate things that God will share in intimate circumstances. And what He was going to say was so precious that the man that would betray Him was not allowed, his ears were not allowed to hear what He said. And when He was gone out of the room, verse 31, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God be glorified in Him, God shall also glorify Him in Himself." This is just King James, New Testament talk here, you know. "And straightway shall glorify Him." In other words, He's just going to glorify Him. Amen. Now notice this, little children. Now He's talking to His disciples here. There's 11 men that heard this sermon. 11. He changed the world with 11 people. He added another in the 12. became apostles. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come, so now I say. Notice what he said. He says to the Jews, these are the unbelieving ones, by the way, they rejected him. He says, where I go, you cannot come. Now, to understand how the Bible works, the law of meditation, he's drawing from something he spoke in chapter 7. You got to go back to chapter 7, know what he's talking about. So we're going to go back to chapter 7 and see when he said that and why he said that. Because I know that's what he said to them is not for you and I. What's for you and I is in chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Amen? You'll get a little more excited about it when you find out where you're going. If any man serve me, let him follow. Then where I am, there shall you be also. I want to be where he is, so I can just find out where he is. Once I find out where he is, I have a right to be there. And that's not just waiting for me when I die. I can be there now. John 7, verse 33. Then said Jesus unto them, John 7. This is what he was referencing in chapter 13. Verse 33. Then said Jesus, yet a little while I'm with you. And then I go unto him that sent me. And then I go. You know how many times he says, I go, I go, I go, I go. I go, I go, I go, I go. He's leaving. He's 33. They can't figure out what he's talking about. What does he mean? He goes. Where is he going? He's 33 years old. He's just about to get started. Disciples, man, they're going to make him king. What are you talking about? You're going. Where are you going to go? The whole world knows you. Where are you going to hide? And they reason constantly. What is this that he says? He's going to go. What's he talking about? Verse 34, then you shall seek me. Now imagine the King of glory, miracle, signs, wonders, can't even hide in the house. Runs in the house and says, tell no man I'm here. At 4 o'clock in the morning, all the multitudes of the whole city are pouncing on him. And now he's going to say, where I go, you can't come. Look at verse 34. You shall seek me, but you will not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. Wow. He tells one group of people you can go and another you can't go. I think I'm going to be with the apostles, the disciples. I think I'm going to go. Everyone say, I'm going. Everyone say, I'm gone. Then said the Jews among themselves, verse 35, whither will he go? That's King James. Where will he go? What? We shall not find him? Everyone knows him. Where's he going to go that we won't find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, you shall seek me and you shall not find me, that where I am, thither you cannot come. What is he talking about? What you talking about, boy? It's basically what he's saying. Go to John chapter 8, verse 13. Same discourse going to be followed right into John chapter 8. Then the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, and thy record is not true. You don't want to say something like that to the Lord. That's the last thing you want to be saying to him. Every time they challenged him, they walked away like a whooped puppy. John 8, verse 14. Jesus answered and said to him, though I bear record of myself, my record is true. For I know where I came and where I go. Hear that word again. I go. Everyone said, I go. I know where I come from and I know where I'm going. It's good to know where you're going. I'm going where he's going. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What you pray, I pray. For I know where I came and where I go, but you cannot tell me where I come from, and you cannot tell me where I go. Now, you have to understand who he's talking to. These are the guys that are persecuting him. These are the guys that are speaking against him. These are guys that are rejecting him openly. And he says, you don't know where I'm going. You don't know where I came from. You don't even know what I'm saying right now. You don't know where I'm going because you don't know who I am. You're not going to be able to go where I go. If you don't go where I go, you're going to be in big trouble. Verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury. He liked to come in the treasury and talk. And he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. They wanted to lay hands on him, and that wasn't to pray for him. They didn't like him at all. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way. There you go again, I go. How many times is he going to say, I go? A lot. Probably about 20 times in this book. I go, I go, I go. This is resurrection, I go. I go my way, and you shall seek me, but you'll die in your sins. He's speaking to the religious hierarchy right there in the temple. The ones that were the mouthpiece and the oracle of God, he's now saying, you'll seek me, but you're going to die in that state because you reject your visitation. Because you don't know who I am, you don't know where I'm from, and you don't know where I'm going. And because you don't know where I'm going, you can't follow me. If you don't follow me, you're not going to be where I am. It's pretty simplistic so far, right? Whither I go, you cannot come. Wow. I don't want the Lord saying that to me. I want him to say, where I go, you go. Where I am, you are. These guys, they couldn't go because they rejected him. They were looking for another way to God except through the ordained doorway. The way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus. They wanted to circumvent him. They rejected him. They didn't like God's answer to humanity and said, we want another way. We're going to go another route. He says, no, you won't. If you're going to go to the Father, you're going to have to come through me. All right. And then said the Jews, will he kill himself? This is what men that have no knowledge of God, that think they know God, this is how they talk. Verse 22, will he kill himself because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come? See, they're struggling. And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Now, can you imagine somebody talking like that? You go to chapter 3, and he's having a discourse with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is just now, he just blew his mind. He said, you're going to have to be born again, Nicodemus. And he goes, wait a minute, do I have to go back in my mother's womb a second time? And he's already blown away like that. He goes, if I tell you earthly things, what are you going to do if I tell you heavenly things? He goes, no man is ascended from God except he that descended from heaven, except the Son of Man who's talking to you right now, which is in heaven. Can you imagine walking around with the Lord? Nice, sweet Jesus. Constantly. They didn't understand what he was saying because he was in another place. He lived in another realm, but he was inviting them to that realm to those who would not reject that invitation. That's not just a sweet by and by when you get to heaven. He's inviting you to that place now. And he said it in verse 23, you're from beneath, I am from above, you're of this world, I'm not of this world. And I said therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. You will die in your sins. He goes on to tell them, he says, you'll know the truth will set you free. I don't have time to get into that, but that's a good one. Go back over John chapter 13 now. Look at verse 33. Now, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you. Now look at verse 36 of John 13. They're trying to still understand what he's saying back from chapter 7. Simon Peter said, Lord, these chapter 7 happened far less than the time of the upper room. So Simon Peter said to him, Lord, whither goest thou? Where are you going? You're here. The Messiah is here. We waited all this time, and you keep telling us you're going to leave. Jesus said, whither I go? Peter, you can't even follow me now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. Whew, thank God. At least he didn't say, you're not coming either. He said, but where I'm going now, Peter, you can't go. You don't tell a fisherman like Peter, stubborn mule Peter, that he can't go. So he's going to invite himself to go. Because he don't know where he's going. If he knew where he was going, he'd say, you're on your own, buddy. I'll see you on the other side. He didn't know where he was going. So Peter sticks his chest out, does a few push-ups, stands before the Lord. Peter said, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for you, bless God. Don't you know who I am? Do you have any idea the gift of God that is standing before you this day? I remember early days of ministry, I had this young guy. Oh, bless him. He took me to lunch one day, and he sat across the table from me. He goes, I just want you to know I'm your man. I said, really? He said, yeah. He goes, do you have any idea the gift of God that is sitting before you this day? I'm thinking, no, but you're about to tell me. Well, that was Peter. Except he didn't know what the Lord was saying. He didn't know where he was going. Because if he knew where he was going, he wouldn't want to go. Not that first trip. I'll take the second trip. You're on your own, the first one. You got to know where he was going. There was a problem in the world. And that problem is man was disconnected from the Father. And Jesus came to do something about that. He came to show what God looked like. And then he said, I got to go away now. I came from the Father. I got to go back to the Father. But before I go, I got to go somewhere that only I can go. I've got to go through a death, a burial, and a resurrection. And you don't want to go there the first time. I'm the lamb that's slain before the foundation of the world, and only I can do it the first time. So, Peter, I appreciate it. Before this night is through, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows. That's the problem with human will, with God. Make a whole lot of promises through human will. It doesn't stand the test of time. Didn't even last Peter. Peter didn't even last 24 hours. Didn't last 12 hours. I'll go. I'll die with you. He goes, this night you'll deny me three times before the cock crows. You got to watch those that'll die with you and die for you. And I'll tell you something about true relationships and true friendships in the kingdom. They have to be tested by fire. That's another message. All right. Look at John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. They're troubled because he keeps telling them I'm going away. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many four-story mansions. There are mansions in heaven. How you know? Because a lot of people went there and saw them. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's still talking about going. But this time he's given them a promise that you and I get in on. In my Father's house, there's many, that word mansions actually means dwelling places. When he says house, it's not like God has this big house in heaven. Because that's going to be a mighty big house. It's my Father's kingdom, my Father's government. In the world I come from, there's many dwelling places. And I go. Everyone say, I go to prepare one for you. I'm going to go prepare, but right now you can't go there because something's hindering you from going there. You were born with a nature that cannot inherit that place. But I come to do something about that. The first trip I go, you can't go because I'm going to go pay a price for you, but I'm going to come back and get you. And when I come back and get you, I'm going to have you born again. If you'll receive me, not reject me like the Jews did. And if you receive me, I'll take you to where I am. And where I am, there shall you be also. The story of the gospel was not to just come and save a bunch of sinners, to have a creation of sinners saved by grace. You are not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You are a bona fide son and daughter of the Most High, and you have access to a kingdom that's not of this world now. Everyone say, booyah! And if I go to prepare a place for you, verse 3, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, where is he going? Well, he's going to tell him. Verse 4, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Thomas never got the Lord. He just didn't get it. Unless I see the holes in his hands, I will not believe. Jesus shows up to him and said, will that help you? He shows him the hole in his hand. Will you believe now? Thomas goes, uh-huh. Look at verse 5, John 14, and Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know what you're talking about. We never know what you're talking about. We're just following you. We don't understand what you say. We don't get you half the time. We do see the miracles. But what's this talk about you going away? We're just getting started. Sure, you're not going to leave the world in our hands. Yeah, by the way, Peter, you'll be spearheading the first wave of revival of the early church. But other than that, don't worry about it. God calls some very interesting people. Amen. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Don't ask him something like that. I imagine the Lord said, Peter, Thomas, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I imagine he said it like this, Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man's going to the Father but by me. That's where I'm going. I came from the Father. I'm going back to the Father. Now let's watch him talk about going to the Father for a moment. John 14, verse 27, peace. Peace, brother. I leave with you my peace. Not as the world giveth. I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard I said, I go away. Wow. Pretty important he keeps repeating himself, isn't it? If I come again unto you, if you love me, you would rejoice because I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. Okay, so he says, now I go unto the Father. Drop down to John 16 now. They're in the upper room now. 11 people hearing this message. Whole lot more in here than that. Amen. John 16, verse 5. This is the last words he's saying. It's pretty important, don't you think? I mean, God choosing the very last thing he's going to say to humanity. And this is what he says. I go. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, whither goest thou? because I said these things unto you. Look at verse 16. A little while, and you shall not see me. Again a little while, and you will see me. Because I go. Everyone say, I go to the Father. Now he's telling them where he's going. I'm going to the Father. Look at verse 17. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this he's saying to us? A little while you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me. And Peter goes, I ain't asking him. No, not me. Done did that already. He rebuked me. Can you believe I asked him the same question? He told me I'm going to deny him three times before the night's over. I ain't asking him nothing else. He's losing it, guys. He's talking about leaving and going away. He says, in a little while you shall see me because I go to the Father again. There it is again. I go to the Father. Well, why is that good news to us? Well, that's great. You're gone. You're with the Father and we're on the earth. And we're going to be excited about that. But then he says, it's expedient for you that I do go away. Because if I go away, I'll send the Comforter to you, which is the Holy Spirit. All right. Verse 19, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him. So he said to them, do you inquire among yourselves, John 16, 19, of what I said? A little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. You're inquiring. You want to know what I'm talking about, don't you? Verily, verily, I say to you that you will weep, but the world will rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. When a woman, she's in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Ooh. I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and then your joy no man will take from you. He said, the world's about to rejoice because I'm about to be crucified. The world's going to get what they want. They're going to have a big shot at me, and I'm going to be crucified. He goes, they're going to rejoice. You're going to be sorrowful for a very short season. Because I've got to go away now. And on my way back to the Father, I'm going to have to take a trip into the belly of the earth to become a sin offering for every human being on the planet. And Peter, as much as I know you love me, you can't go. You won't make it that trip. But God's going to come and get me, the Father. Because he can swear by no greater, he swore to himself, he'll come and get me. When I'm in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights suffering for your sin, my Father's going to come get me. Because he promised Abraham a long time ago, yeah, I'm going to have a seed, and I'm going to multiply that seed. And so this seed, this single solitary corn of wheat, is about to become an offering. It's going to fall into the earth and die. And when I fall into the earth and die, God's coming to get me. And when he comes and gets me, it's going to be a resurrection Sunday. He is going to resurrect me. And when he does, I'm going back to the Father. But when he resurrects me, he's going to sit me at his right hand. He's going to put me on his right hand. And I'll be there forever making intercession for you. Booyah! I got to go away. I got to go back to him that sent me. I got to do a work. I got to take away the first and establish the second. But he's going to come and get me. But when he comes and gets me, I'm going to come and get you. And I'm coming back because I'm going to build a big old bridge for you. Because you can't go right now. Whither I go, you cannot go. But if any man serve me, let him follow me. Because I'm about to create a place, a path for you. I'm going to let you follow me right into the Father's bosom too. I'm going to take you right, and I'm going to set you down at the right hand of the Father. Oh, that's where you lost it, preacher. Okay, hang on then. Verse 27, for the Father himself loveth you because you've loved me. And I believe that I've come from God, I came forth from the Father. I'm coming to the world again. I leave the world by way of the cross. I'm leaving the world and I go back to the Father. Look at his disciples said unto him, wow, verse 29, now speakest thou plainly. He was speaking plainly from the beginning. You know what happened? The light came on. Kaboom. He was speaking plainly the whole time. He sees they were dull of hearing. Sometimes we get dull of hearing and we fold our arms and said, oh man, this church stuff. I don't get him half the time anyway. So what does it matter? And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost comes on him and the light comes on. And goes, oh my God, he's going away for us. We can't go there right now. We cannot inherit the kingdom until he goes by way of the cross. And when the Father comes and gets him, he's going to raise him up with a resurrection Sunday. And when he goes up, he's coming back and he's going to invite me into the Father's bosom with him. He's going to invite me into the right hand. That ain't in the earth, my friend. There is a part of you that's inherited the kingdom, whether you ever know it in this lifetime or not. You have a right to sit down with the Father now. Church, a whole lot more than just showing up on Sunday for a 30-minute nice message for you to live the rest of your life on your own, your way. You're missing a great deal of the kingdom. You're missing a great, great deal. Because that part of the kingdom you cannot ascertain with your mind. If you try to move into your mind will not inherit the things of God. It's your heart that inherits the kingdom. When you're born again, it's your heart that accesses the heavenly realms of God. It's your heart that feeds on the riches of the glory of Christ, not your head. Your head, you'll stand in the way all your lifetime. You'll never know God. You're going to stand in front of him. One day you're going to look. If you don't get it now, you're going to stand in front of me. Yeah, you'll be born again. But, oh, my God, the things I missed, I threw my life. I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. Your mind is not going to discern the kingdom. You don't access the kingdom with your head. Stop trying. You're not getting anywhere that way. It's your heart that accesses the kingdom. Go to John chapter 17. We're going to begin our ascent to our close. John 17, verse 9, I love this. I like the way the Lord prayed. I'm going to learn to pray like him. When the Lord prayed, he positioned himself in a place he wasn't even at. And then he positioned you in a place you weren't at. Now watch how he did this. He's in the upper room. All right? Watch what he does in this prayer. This is phenomenal. John 17, verse 9, this is not just a little nice prayer. Jesus knew how to move in the heavenlies with his Father. He knew how to move into his destiny, even in his prayer. It's what made him so effective. Listen, praying just when you get in trouble, that prayer, help, help, where are you, God? We don't spend a whole lifetime praying like that because we're in trouble. God, how come you don't help me, God? Where are you? God's a whole lot more than just to help God. God is a help God, but I mean, your whole life, is that all you're going to know him when you need help? How about loving him when everything's good? How about acknowledging him when all things are good? John 17, 9, I pray for them. He's praying for his disciples. I pray not for the world, but for them thou hast given me. For they are thine. And all that is mine is yours, Father, and all that is yours is mine, and I'm glorified in them. He's going to be glorified in them, all right. He's going to come and live in them shortly. When he lives in them, he's going to be able to take them where he is. He's going to take you where he is when he lives in you properly. And now I'm no more in the world. Now, can you imagine? Get this picture. They're having communion. And disciples, they're all kind of set down, hunkered down, and he's praying. Now, he's already gone. He's already into the future. He's already where he is. He goes, and I'm no more in the world. And his disciples looked up, and they're all looking at each other going, what did he say? What did he say? He's not in the world. You know how he is. Just let him go on about his business. And Father, I'm no more in the world. And they're going, what? He's going away. He's not in the world. We're following this guy. But these are in the world. But I come to thee, Holy Father. Now, all this is one prayer. He takes them from being in the world to out of the world in one prayer. Watch this. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. John 17, verse 11. I'm going to pull this part in real quick. You're going to understand a scripture here you may not have understood before. John 17, 11. Now watch this. Verse 13. And now, Father, now I come to thee. My time is now. I'm leaving the world, Father. I'm coming to you by way of cross. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Get this. Don't lose this. I speak this in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled. You know what that is not? You waking up in the morning, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's not what that's talking about. With the joy of God bubbling up in your belly, that's not what he's talking about. He was talking about his joy of being in union at the right hand of the Father. He goes, now, Father, I'm about to deliver them to the same place that I hold with you. And they're going to have the same joy that I have with you of being in perfect union, perfect glory. In fact, they're going to get to behold you, Father, the way they'll behold me. The way I behold you as a son, they're going to get to behold you the same way. My joy that I have with you for all eternity past, present, and future, I'm about to bring them into the exact same place. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou wilt keep them from the evil. Now look at this. He's still praying. Verse 16, they're not of the world. Wait a minute. Because his disciples are looking at him. What? He said, he's not of the world. He's gone. Now he's telling me I'm not of the world. I'm looking around pinching myself. I think I am. I think I'm of the world. I think I am. Would you like to walk with him? You know what he's saying? He already saw them born again, translated out of the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of his dear son. He's looking at the cross that's set before him. He's looking at the joy that's set before him. I'm going to deliver a whole nation, a generations to come to the Father. I see them. They're no longer even of this world, Father. They're coming through the cross with me. Do you know you went through the cross with him? Real quick, go to Romans chapter 6. It'd be in Resurrection Sunday. We'll see how we were resurrected. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where do you think you're following him? Well, Lord, what would you have me to do today? That's one way, but that's not what he was talking about in John. Let him follow me right into the right hand of the Father. I'm going by way of the cross. God's going to resurrect me to the right hand, and I'm going to make intercession for you, ever making intercession for you. Romans 8:24, ever making intercession to come into the right hand of the Father, that the joy that I have with the Father will be fulfilled in you. Father, my glory I give unto them. I will, Father, John 17, they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. I will it. Who are you anyway? You're going to spend a whole lifetime and never know just what he did for you, just who you are. Never even engage the heavenlies because you didn't know, because your mind or religion talked you out of it. You don't even know what's there for you. This whole life is just about the natural, me, myself, and I, struggling through life. Not knowing that what the true gospel was, he pulled you up and sat you down. Now! That's hard, I know. It's tough. But it's the truth. Amen? I'm not missing out. Romans 6, verse 3. Know you not? So many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. What's that mean? Therefore, we're buried with him in baptism. I was never buried. Yes, you were. Oh, yes, you were. As like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin was destroyed, the one you inherited from your first forefather, Adam, the one you were born with. When he went into the grave, when you said, I do, remember the death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus, come into my heart. You know what that baptism's about, water baptism? You were immersed into water. The old man you were born in was immersed into the grave. It went simultaneously with him at the cross. When he went down, you went down. When God came and got him, God came and got you. And he resurrected your spirit when he resurrected his spirit. And he took your spirit and he sat you down at the right hand of the Father. Sat you down at the right hand of the Father. Say, he sat me down at the right hand of the Father. The old man is dead. Two more scriptures and we'll close. Go to Ephesians 2:6. I'm going to quote something for you out of Hebrews while you're on your way over there. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, Jesus. He was the forerunner. He went into heaven as a forerunner. What's a forerunner? That means you follow the forerunner. Where are you following him? Into heaven. Well, I'm going to go there. When I die, you're there now. You already died. I don't know if I believe that, brother. Well, hang on. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Great high priest that passed into the heavens. I got to go away. I'm going to go by the way of cross, but my Father's going to get me. I'm going to be the forerunner, and I'm going to pierce the veil. I'm going to pass into the heavens. I'm going to open that to you. That where I am with the Father, you may be also. Two more scriptures and the light should come on. Here's one, Ephesians 2:6. The light should come on about right here. This doesn't matter what grandpa taught you. It doesn't matter what the denominations taught you. It doesn't matter what the preachers taught you. It doesn't matter what your head has taught you. It matters what he said. All right? What did he say? Ephesians 2:6. You were raised up together. God who is rich in mercy. Ephesians 2 and 4. Booyah. I'm going to say booyah. Ephesians 2 and 4. But God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us. What? 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 Quickened us together? Together? Where I am, there you may be also, that you may behold my glory. Made us sit, verse 6, and raised us up together. Where did he raise you from? The burial. Because he buried the old man. He buried something in you when you were born again, my friend. If that man didn't get buried, you probably hadn't gotten born again yet. He had to bury the old so he could bring forth the new. When he raised you up, he raised you together with him. He says, I got to go away, Father. I got to go away. I'm going. I'm coming, Father. And I'm bringing the generations with me. I'm making a way where there wasn't a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come and get me, Father. And when you come and get me, come and get them too. I'm coming back through my name. They can come up and sit down. Raised me up and made me sit down. Where you think you're sitting at? The right hand. I'm sitting down at the right hand. Woo! Made us sit together. Stay with me two more minutes. Sit together in heavenly places. You're seated in a heavenly place? What? You sit down in a heavenly place? Oh, my whole life just revolves around the natural. I don't know anything more than that. I just go. I'm a nice person Sunday morning. You're a whole lot more than that. Don't let religion steal the one opportunity you have to live for God. You're not going to get another one like it. Don't wait till heaven to learn who you were now. You can wait till heaven, your life's going to be robbed from you. One more scripture, we're out, we're closed. Colossians 3. Where I am, there you may be also. Just stay with me for three verses. These three verses can change your life. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised together with Christ. I go to the Father. I go to the Father. You went with him? That's hard for the mind, isn't it? If you were raised together with Christ, seek those things that are above. Wow. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. God, I pray in this lifetime you make it there. We make it there. That we get out of the earth long enough to find out who we are. Verse 3, for you died. For you are dead. What part of you died? The old man. The one you were born with, that man went into the grave. And the one that was resurrected is the one that can inherit the kingdom. It's the one that sat down with him now. It's what gives you access to heavenly realms. It gives you access to have dominion. For you are dead and your life is now hid with Christ in the Father. The true life, God, I pray we find it. The true life is hidden in the Father, in Christ, in heavenly realms. And you've got a man, a new man that can inherit that. You have access. You have access to live in glory now. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah.